Thank you. Okay, folks. Good evening and welcome to our special meeting, Mid-Ulster Council, held here in Dungannon Chamber, whether you have joined remotely or whether you're in the chamber. Can I especially welcome any of the public who are watching in through the live broadcast? The live broadcast will run for the period of open business and will end just before we move into confidential business, and I'll let you know when that happens. Some housekeeping rules just before we commence. Can I remind you, if you've joined the meeting remotely, please keep your audio on mute unless invited to speak, and then turn it off when finished. Keep your video on at all times unless you have a problem with your internet connection, and then you're advised to try turning off the video. If you wish to speak, please raise your hand in the meeting or on the screen and keep raised until observed by an officer or by myself. Should we need to take a vote this evening, I will ask each member to confirm whether they are for or against the proposal or they are abstaining. When invited to speak, please introduce yourself by name. For any member attending remotely, if you declare an interest in an item, please turn off your video and then your audio on mute during the item. If referring to a specific item or report, please make reference to the report by the page or the slide. And lastly, can I remember the public and the press that taking photographs of proceedings or using any means to enable anyone not present to see or hear the proceedings or make any simultaneous oral report of the proceedings are not permitted. Thank you all very much. We'll do a roll call at this time. So if you can indicate whether you're here, because we have a few more in the chamber than we normally would have. Councillor Ashton.
Present.
Councillor Bale. Councillor Bale. Okay, we'll come back to you. Councillor Black.
Present.
Councillor Brown.
Present.
Councillor Buchanan.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Burton.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Clark. I thought there was some Councillor Clark on there. Councillor Clark.
Gavin Bell's on there.
I'll come back to him just. Councillor Colvin. Apology. Okay. Councillor Corey.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Cuddy.
Present.
Councillor Culbertson.
Here.
Councillor Doris.
Here.
Councillor Leader.
I'm Shaw.
Okay. Councillor Ford.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Gildernew.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Glasgow.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Graham. Councillor Hughes.
Here, Chair.
Martin, sorry, I should call you. Apologies. It hasn't changed my sheet yet, so I'll get that done for the next night. Councillor Kearney.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Kerr. Nope. Okay. Councillor Malham.
Here.
Councillor McAleer.
Here.
Councillor Sharon McAleer. Sorry, I should have made that apology. Councillor McFlynn.
Here.
Councillor Brian McGuigan.
Here,
Chair. Councillor Sean McGuigan.
Here.
Councillor Derek McKinney.
Here.
Myself. Councillor John McNamee.
Present.
Councillor Donald McPeak.
Present, Chair.
Sean McPeak.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Ian Mullen.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Molloy.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Monteith.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Mullen.
Present,
Chair. Councillor O'Neill.
Present,
Chair. Councillor Quinn.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Robinson.
Present,
Chair. Councillor Totten.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Wilson.
Here.
Right, a couple more have maybe joined. Councillor Black. Councillor Bale.
Here, Chair.
Right, okay. And Councillor Clark.
Yeah.
I thought I seen him coming on there, didn't I? Right, Councillor Clark's not here. And Councillor Kerr. Definitely not here. Right, so we have missing them as far as... Sorry?
Kerr.
Who's that?
Councillor Kerr, could I maybe send the link to Councillor Kerr again? I can't find it.
you want me to send it out? So.
Right, Philip will do that now. Okay. Here, it's gonna go from Eileen here. All right, so at the minute, based with Councillor Kerr, who possibly will join us, Councillor Clark, don't have an apology, so we'll see what happens there. All right, okay. Sorry, that somebody's bad. Councillor O'Neill, you're having a conversation with the rest of the chamber. Okay, declarations of interest.
Sorry, Chair, for interrupting. I see Councillor Clark on there now.
Councillor Clark, you're here.
Yes, I'm there.
Good. That's it. Okay, thank you. All right. Chair's business. I don't have anything to bring up in Chair's business, as this is a special meeting. We'll go straight on to the items that are before us. Okay, matters arising for decision. So over to the Right Honourable JJ Tuchel, and he's going to take us through item four, the minimum revenue provision policy.
Thank you, Chair. At the start of the meeting, I can say that all the papers tonight are as presented. Everything we do tonight is governed by statute, and that's why there are these specific items on the agenda. We're required to set a minimum revenue position or provision, which is basically intended to fund capital expenditure. So the paper indicates that we previously have adopted our policy to reflect new accounting regulations, etc., and the regulations themselves that we were anticipating were postponed for a couple of years, but they are operative from the 1st of April now coming. So the policy that we adopted last year is appropriate for this year, so I'm recommending the Council adopt that policy, or just continue to retain the current policy.
Chair, I propose that.
Sorry, who proposed that? Councillor Cuddy proposed. Councillor McGuigan seconded. All in favour of accepting the policy? Okay, no abstentions. Thank you very much. Okay, JJ, item five is yours as well, I believe.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This particular paper is set in the context of papers or items 7 and 8, which are on the agenda for information. There's a legislative requirement for the Council to consider reports by the Chief Executive in relation to the robustness of the rates estimates and the adequacy of reserves prior to them striking the rate. So they're not specifically for a decision. They're there to give you the Chief Executive as Chief Financial Officer view in relation to both. The reports are as presented, and in summary they confirm that the Chief Executive and I believe that the rates estimates have been prepared on a robust basis and that reserves will be adequate, providing the Council strikes the rate that we are recommending tonight. So that is the context of Paper 5, which basically goes through the legislative provisions in relation to striking the rate itself, and then makes a recommendation for the rate that the officers are recommending together with the amount of expenditure that that will fund in year. So as they say, the paper is as presented, and we would ask the members to strike a rate which will reflect a 4.94% increase from last year, and that will fund the expenditure as noted within the detail of the report.
Okay. So, item six then, based on that, if you have nothing else more to say on that, JJ?
Yes, thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Item six effectively is basically the Council taking its decision to strike the rate as recommended by the officers or such rate as the Council decides, other than that.
Okay. Right, okay, folks, you've heard and you have received your documentation. I have a couple of hands up here already. So, Councillor Mathan, you were first to raise your hand.
Thank you, Chair. And can I first begin by thanking the officer team for all the work that goes into it. I know we do this every year, but it's needless to say that the level of work and the effort that's put in to ensure we strike a robust rate, while at the same time examining how we do our business and ensuring that the ratepayer out there gets the best value of money, doesn't go unnoticed. And just to place on record our thanks to JJ and the entire team for the huge effort that goes into doing this. Chair, initially, I think it needs to be said that the decision that this council took last year has now turned out to be quite the mistake whenever you see how the numbers stack up here. And before we do anything or make a decision on anything or how we move forward, the decision to strike a zero rate has now cost us 2.83% before any other pressures or any other things are taken into consideration. And I feel that this isn't something that's just going to impact on a two-year basis last year and this year. It's something that we're going to have to be taking into consideration over a long number of years to try and bring the council back into a sustainable position, particularly with all the things that we want to do. And Chair, the list is long in terms of what our ambitions look like. It's something we've worked together on as a 40-member council, along with the officers from this council, has begun. And I don't think there's anything on the list, particularly in the expectations we have in terms of our capital projects, but as well as the services and the things that we want to deliver, that we have decided these things together. And I certainly haven't heard anybody complain or want anything struck out over the last number of years, unless that position has changed here tonight. Chair, I also want to make remarks upon how good this council is in terms of being able to access money that doesn't come from Mid-Ulster but comes from other funders, European Union, through peace, through other governmental departments. And we are always sitting in a position where we have projects shovel ready and good to go and hit the ground. This was remarked upon by the Agriculture Minister Poots last week whenever he met the council and said that Mid-Ulster Council was one of the best at it in terms of levering money in. And again, that's down to the hard work of the officers with support from the members. We can build great things and we have some fantastic projects out there, but I think what is clear, and this has been recognised in the conversations that we've had over the last number of weeks and months whenever we were getting ready for this night tonight, is that perhaps the resourcing and the maintenance of these new projects that we build isn't quite as good as actual delivery of the capital project itself. And that's something I think as members we need to take into consideration as we move forward over the next number of years. Chairs, there has been consideration given here in these papers and in the conversations about transformation going forward over the next number of years. And Chair, I would like to see more input coming from the members in terms of transformation. And I would like to see a committee or a working group or whatever way that's best dealt with being set up so that council members can bring their ideas and bring solutions to the table in terms of how this council can transform, increase revenues and come up with new ideas in the future. Chair, costs are becoming increasingly difficult for the public out there. We feel it in our homes. We feel it in our jobs, we feel it in our businesses, and things are getting fairly tight. And I really appreciate all the work that the officers have done in terms of bringing this rate estimate together. But given the circumstances out there, I can't go with the recommendation. Chair, I want to make a proposal that we strike a rate at 3.9%. And in order to get to 3.9%, I am suggesting that the officer team look at using more of the rate support grant instead of using it all for transformation, that we use some of that to try and offset the cost, and to look again, if they can, throughout their departments to see if some more additional savings can be got in order to achieve this figure. In JJ's report, it indicates that because of the regional rate is frozen, that the ratepayers, the council's contribution to this rate increase will be, you know, something equal to, it'll feel half of what we strike. And the indication was that the average household across Mid-Ulster would see an increase of around £20. And by doing this, we can reduce it to just above £16. Now, it might sound like not a lot, but it's something. And I think given the climate that's out there at the minute, we have to try and offset this and feel a bit of the pain ourselves as well. So, Chair, Chair, that's my proposal. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to ask, is there a seconder for that proposal? Okay, Councillor McFlynn, you also indicated to want to speak. Okay. Go ahead.
Yep. Thank you, Chair, for allowing me to come in. And like Councillor Mallaghan, I would also like to thank our Chief Executive and our Senior Management Team, JJ Tokel in particular, for all the efforts they have done last year and this year. We have had a particular bad couple of years now with COVID and that, so they have worked extremely well to progress this council to the position we're in. Like Cahill, I would like to say as well, this council gets funding from a lot of outside bodies, DERA and Peace Money, etc. Without it, we just couldn't do the projects that we do. So I want to thank all the officers involved with that. Our team has went through the accounts. We had a robust meeting with our Chief Executive and with JJ. And I'd say it was a very stringent meeting, to put not put words in anybody's mouth, but look, we grilled it very hard and we came up with decisions ourselves with how we would go forward with everything that we're doing. But we agree with what Cahill is saying. But Ulster is in a very good financial position according to our accounts that we have. We don't have any loans. If we have loans, they're very tiny. But we have capital in the bank. But if we continue to draw down on that capital every single time, we don't have a rates increase very quickly, that those capital reserves will disappear, and in 5-6 years there'll be no capital and we'll have no cash for this council. The huge cost to this council, one of the huge things we have is waste management, and our leisure services costs a huge amount of money. But this council at this time is working with other councils and trying to do our own recycling plan, what we're going to do in the way forward. That all takes money. We can't do that scheme unless we work towards that with our own councillors. So I want to say that just at the meeting as well. Our residents are being encouraged at this stage to get out and about and to get active. I attended the launch of the Active programme today, but it's expensive. It can't be done without funding. Like all our other projects that we're doing, our capital projects that we're doing, none of those schemes can come forward unless this council funds them. We're forward thinking. We need to provide good services for all our residents, but we have to make sure our staff are in good working conditions as well. Like I said earlier, if we use our cash reserves very quickly, those cash reserves will run out. Last year, the council struck a 0% rate. While some in the chamber think that was a good idea, some think it was a very poor decision. We're seeing the results of that this year, where we will be increasing the rate. But all our citizens and right across, I suppose, with Ulster in the north of Ireland, we're seeing increase in energy costs, whether it's diesel or oil or gas or electric. But the council have those costs as well. So it's costing a lot of money to run all our services that we have. We just can't run on fresh air. So while 0% of an increase sounds great, it's not sustainable. So our party group and the SDLP will be supporting the increase of 3.9%. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Councillor McFlynn. Okay, Councillor Ashton.
Thank you, Chair. And can I just also start by thanking JJ for all his efforts over the last number of months, but in particular, I suppose, always the last month leading up to this meeting. His time is always put under a lot of pressure with elected members, and I thank him for that. This has been, I suppose, a very difficult year regarding the rates. There's been, I suppose, unavoidable pressures that has come on, which has probably made this even more difficult of a paper, I suppose, to come to the meeting, and also for us as members to scrutinise. However, I will say, like last year, we had a very difficult year by members of our community and our business community with the huge impact of COVID. And I do believe, and we said it at the meeting, that 0% was the right thing to do at that moment in time to support our ratepayers when they were going through a very difficult time. And we did say that. And I know it has been referenced here this evening, but people have to acknowledge that our communities were going through one of the most difficult times and pandemics that we have ever, I suppose, experienced in our time here within this council term. So it was right for the council to support them. The 3.9%, Mr. Chairman, we'd like to put in a counter proposal, but I would just sort of make comment. There was comment of to fund that 3.9%, that 1% saving from the officers regarding the transformation fund. There is only 250k being put into this year's budget regarding that transformation fund, and I know having asked the questions at the PNR committee regarding the plans for transformation, it is highly unlikely that those transformation plans are going to come forward within this financial year in completion. So I don't see how the 1% fund is going to actually be able to be utilised, the £1 million to make that 1% saving. We would like to propose, Mr. Chairman, at 2.18%, and I'll explain how we can come down to that figure. So approximately the pressures, that's 1.2 million. There is within the budget paper £100,000 relating to Cookstown parking. As the parking strategy has not been completed, Mr. Chairman, an agreement has not been sought regarding introduction of that. We're actually suggesting that actually should come out, as that will not be a saving within this financial year. Hence, that's actually going to bring the pressures up to 1.3. We have, and I know Councillor Mallon has referred to it, regarding the funding of our revenue capital, and we've put in a new pressure this year of 450k. And I appreciate that these capital, we have a very expansive capital programme, and those capital programmes cost money to run, but we are still in a very difficult period regarding businesses and even our communities coming the other side of the COVID pandemic. So I'd be proposing, Mr. Chairman, that we hold off making that provision in this year's budget, and as we're making provisions within the capital schemes, that we take those forward, perhaps next year, with proper analysis of how much each programme is going to actually cost to run, because we will have some projects in capital, play parks, etc., that maybe won't have, you know, a huge amount of revenue. It'd be more maintenance allowance. There's a 35k allowance put in there for additional members special support allowance. We'd be proposing that that is not utilised and put back into the budget. Which has been also relayed as a 0% rate impact, and there is no doubt that, and we were fully aware of this last year, we were applying a balance to fund that in the revenue budgets. Rather than taking the whole impact of that to say we are still going through a difficult period, I'd be proposing, Mr. Chairman, we spread that impact over 3 years. That there will put over back into the budget about £833,000 pounds, and that, Mr. Chairman, should, in theory, I hope JJ tells me my calculations are right, should bring me back to 2.18% of an increase.
Okay, Councillor Ashton. You're making that a council proposal. Councillor Brown, you're making that a second? Okay. All right. Anybody else? Sorry, Councillor Cuddy.
Thanks, Chair. First of all, I'd like to, same as all the other parties, to thank the Chief Executive and his team for all their hard work throughout the, you know, the year 2021 and 2022. You know, it's been, especially, I want to just to draw attention to just one of his team has left, who was, you know, the financial director in Dungannon, the head of finance in Dungannon, Paula Kerr, and she's been very involved in accountancy and finance in the new council as well as the old council. She's been with us for quite a long time, so I just want to acknowledge her hard work in JJ's team. You know, last year, or this, it's actually this current year, 2021-22, it's been an exceptional financial year with COVID, lockdowns, furlough, and working from home, etc. That's why last year we agreed a 0% increase in rates. What we felt was that, you know, we looked after our staff and everybody that year, last year, the last financial year, and it was right to look after our ratepayers that year. And the thing is, agreeing the zero increase in rates meant that agreeing to the zero increase in rates meant that the pressures that was talked about at last year's meeting, when we forward it on to now, we can see that our bank balance was in the region of £27 million surplus at the beginning of the year. It's well over 30, and obviously there's three more months to go before the end of this year. But it looks like it's going to be well into the 30. So we have, you know, with paying all our bills and doing what the chief executive wanted to do throughout the year, we still have an increased cash reserve of several million pounds. So. That's why we, as an Ulster Unionist Party, feel that there was no pressures brought on from last year. In fact, last year, with all its unusual activities, with the you know, with lockdowns and our main sites and all closed, it meant that we, with support from Westminster and Stormont, we have ended up in a very strong financial position. So. I can't understand why there is any pressures coming from last year, or this. When I say last year, this is the current year we're in. We're trying to decide a rate for next year starting April. So, as I say, there has been no pressure. So, our point is that if we're talking about 4.94, that our SMT team are suggesting, if we take that 2.83 that's in the report off, that they're saying that they. They're saying that they came from the last year. That takes us down to 2.11%, and you know that means that we can still get on with all the activities that our senior management team and councillors have identified for the next year, and we still have we are, you know, in a stronger position than we were this time last year. It wasn't a mistake. It was probably one of the best things we ever did in Mid-Ulster Council to try and support our ratepayers through this difficult time. And if I could do it, I would have zero this year, but it's not realistic. And it will probably not be in the future for various reasons that the financial director has said. So we're realistic, but the thing is, we have a large organisation, a relatively new organisation here, and you know, moving forward, we are concerned that out of every £100 we spend in this council, 60 of it goes to salaries and wages, which isn't sustainable in the medium to long term. It's not something that we can sort out tonight or this year, but it's something that we have, you know, listened to the chief executive and the SMT to tell us in the past. It's hard to change that, but it's getting to the stage where we really do. It's salaries and wages are going up right across all industry and other sectors in the economy. We have to find ways of not letting that increase anymore, and try and get a better setup. Look after our staff. Our staff are probably the most important value we have in this organisation. But you know, we do need to find ways of delivering a more efficient service throughout the district. You know, we're not, and just to move on one last point, Chair, you know, we're not asking Stormont and Westminster to cut taxes, but we, you know, they have been cutting taxes, but we are here tonight are going to increase taxes, not by much, but when everybody has helped and supported us as a community within in Mid-Ulster, we find that we are starting to, you know, continue to take it's an opportunity, obviously, with no regional increase and everything that we can put up, but that's not the way we should be working at it. We should be looking at trying to keep pressures as levels as low as possible, so that we can look after our people, because this year is going to be a very difficult year, as other councillors have said early on. There's going to be significant increases right across the board for households to try and to manage, and I wouldn't want to be adding us at the bottom of that list. So it's important we take on board you know, all those aspects. And I'm so really what I'm proposing, that we go for 2.11%, that is straightforward. It's not targeting, it's not changing anything that our chief executive and the SMT have identified to work this year. It's because that we have several millions of pounds additional income from last year to this year in our bank account, and that's with doing all of what we needed to do. And we're not talking about a 0% increase here this year or anything, but a sensible increase to this council would be in around the just over the 2%. And as I say, it's so important that we send a good message out to all our people in Mid Ulster. And as it's so, as I say, I propose that we go for 2.11%.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Connolly. We have a second, sir, for 2.11. Councillor Wilson. Okay. I think it would be remiss of me not to allow either JJ or the Chief Executive to respond to some of the comments that have been made to the floor tonight. So I'm going to leave it to either of them, or both of them, for that matter. I mean, we've had our hearing. People have heard all the different things. So just before we bring it to a conclusion. I don't mind, whatever.
Okay, Chair. Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, members, for your kind words of support, as always. On behalf of the entirety of the team, it is always very welcome to hear your support. And, you know, we share the challenges, as you do, in terms of arriving at a budget that is deliverable, but also meets the ambition of the organisation. And as the Chief Executive, it's my job to, two things, maintain that ambition, and number two, to ensure that it's suitably resourced so that we can deliver it on behalf of our citizens. Our recommendation, Chair, was and is based upon delivering services that we believe are cherished by our community right across Mid Ulster, to deliver capital programmes that are demanded by our community right across Mid Ulster, and to deliver support programmes for our community groups, our volunteer groups, our football clubs, and our hundreds of businesses that we support as a council year on year. So in terms of utilising the money that we raise, I'm very satisfied with the direction of travel in terms of how the members and the officer teams are working together to deliver on the priorities that are contained within our corporate plan. In relation to the challenges that we face, throughout the course of the last 2 weeks, I've engaged with members, and without repeating the high-level headlines, we operate in the same environment as any other business or any other large employer. We have 1,000 staff. When you have up to 1,000 staff, you have to reflect the rising costs that that contains. Year on year, even with minimal increases with staff costs, salary costs, pension costs, and rightly so, included then add on year waste costs, we're standing still increase of well over £1 million year on year. It's 2% before we even start these discussions. That's the world we're in. We understand that, and we're trying to plan for that, but also not lack the ambition to deliver quality services. I would also say that one of the challenges that JJ and I have faced this year is the inflation challenge. And I've done nearly 30 years in local government, and never have I operated in an environment where inflation is currently 5% and raging to 7%. That affects us exactly the same way as it affects large businesses out there in the community. So our energy costs, the oil, the transport, all of that is impacted significantly, which is why we proposed the rate that we struck, because we thought it was a fair and balanced budget to allow us to function and function in a way that we deliver quality services. The organisation, Chair, is financially feasible thanks to the good work of the members, and the public need to know that. We have a membership that has been prudent over the years and helped us build up a capital reserve. The good work of JJ and the good work of other officers who have secured millions of pounds of external funding that have been referenced. But managing a council budget for me, Chair, is a delicate balance between having the reserves needed to deliver your capital aspiration, and ours is significant. This year alone, we delivered substantive capital projects. Next year, our ambition is no less. So this year, we have currently 17 projects live. We have delivered in the year from April 21, 36 projects, Chair. We have planned projects to commence for the year 22-23, a further 10. And thereafter, we have 14 projects in the ether for 23-24. These are all huge capital projects that will serve our communities, our generation, and hopefully our children and their grandchildren. So I'm very proud of that, and our budget hopefully reflects that. So our capital provision does that, Chair, but equally, in order to deliver those capital aspirations, the revenue side of the business needs to be suitably resourced, and that means our staff or renter rates, and that is why we proposed the rate tonight, and we think it's fair, and we think it provides value for money, both for the ratepayer, but also as a service user for myself, yourself, and all of our families. So in conclusion, thank you for the kind words. Thank you for the prudence and the guidance, and above all, your support in helping all of the officers right across this organisation to have a high aspiration and to deliver quality product for the people of Mid-Ulster.
Okay. JJ?
Thank you, Chair. I'd like, again, to echo the Chief Executive's comments. As officers, we really do appreciate the support that this Council gives us. I can't speak for any other council, but I can say that we feel very well supported. I know we've had quite a bit of dialogue and some fairly robust discussions at times with members across all of the parties and the independents, who have certainly challenged us in relation to our views and our assumptions. I think one of the most important things that I can say is that the rates estimates process is not a science. There are a lot of judgments, estimates, uncertainties, and we bring our knowledge and experience, such as it is, to bear, and members will reflect on that, obviously. It has been a very challenging year, and not just for ratepayers, but also for the Council, because we too operate in this world of inflation, and it's impacting on everything we do. I think it's fair to say that despite the best efforts of Stormont and indeed the Council itself, the impact of the pandemic isn't over yet. We continue to be supported by the Department for Communities in particular in relation to funding that helps us mitigate the lost income that we continue to see against our facilities. That income has a direct bearing on our rate estimates and the rate that we will strike. More significantly, probably, is the impact that the pandemic will have on our rate space. That is very uncertain. So, taking all one thing with everything, it's a more uncertain climate this year than ever before, and that's why we as officers have put in a lot of effort in looking at the detail, with a view to trying to ensure that the council, which is reasonably well funded compared to some of the other councils who are out there, because thus far we've been able to provide funding to deliver on everything the members have chosen to support and to carry out, and we want to leave the council in at least as good a position at the end of this financial term as it was at the beginning of the financial term. But we do understand members' aspirations to try to do the best they can for the ratepayers, and we feel that the figures that we have presented are reasonable and should therefore be reflected on in great detail, as we know members have done in coming to the conclusions. So at this point in time, I know we've had a lot of discussion, and I'm happy to leave it with members as to how they ultimately go forward with which rate they strike.
Okay. Councillor McKinney, your hand up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I'm in. I just want to say again that the comments made in the bad decision last year, totally disagree with them. I think that whenever we see our cash reserve raising possibly £4 million from this time last year, the Chief Executive talked about his ambitions. I don't think that ever in his wildest dreams that he intended to be £4 million up in cash reserves from this time last year. I think it was totally unfair to add in last year's increase of 2.8%, remembering that it was only 1.6% that we had taken away last year, not from 2.8%. But there's a lot of other wee bits added in there just to bulk it up. And I don't have to go through and rehearse, you see the whole programme again. But it's totally unfair there. I just don't wonder how, from the two parties that made the issue about the 0% last year, how they can from incentivise themselves with again a £4 million. We have a wee bit more time to go yet, it could be more before the end the end of the year, but £3 to £4 million extra on the piggy bank than we had from last year. How can they say it was a bad decision? The 0% increase will leave us within that position. Remind just also one of the parties, if they all had a state, they could have had their own way, but they didn't. They made their own choice. Thank you for that,
Councillor McKinney. Okay. Just before we come to, we'll do a roll call and a vote. On the point of the 0%, and I don't want to elaborate any other. I still personally believe that it was the right decision to make. We all knew that whenever our party knew when we were putting that forward, that there was going to be additional pressures on the years to come because of it. You don't do that sort of thing and not have the implications of it. However, based on where we were coming from and what our community was facing, we believed that that was the right decision. We have before us tonight the first proposal from Councillor Mahon, and therefore we're going to take that first. That's in order. So basically it's for or against. So if you can let us know whenever we call out your name. Councillor Ashton.
Against.
Councillor Bale. Councillor Black.
Against.
Councillor Brown.
Against.
Councillor Buchanan.
Against.
Councillor Burton.
Against.
Councillor Clark.
For.
Councillor Colvin's absent. Councillor Corey.
For.
Councillor Cuddy.
Against.
Councillor Cumberson.
Against.
Councillor Doris.
For.
Councillor Leader.
For.
Councillor Ford.
Against.
Councillor Gildernew.
For.
Councillor Glasgow.
Against.
Councillor Graham.
Against.
Councillor Martin.
For.
Sorry, for. Councillor Kearney.
For, Chair.
Councillor Kerr.
For.
Councillor Mulligan.
For.
Councillor Niall McAleer.
For.
Councillor Sharon McAleer.
For.
Councillor McFlynn.
For.
Councillor Brian McGuigan.
For.
Councillor Sean McGuigan.
For.
Councillor Derek McKinney.
Against.
Myself, against. Councillor McNamee.
For.
Councillor Dolan McPeak.
For.
Councillor Sean McPeak.
For.
Councillor Ian Minnell.
For.
Councillor Dominic Malloy.
For.
Councillor Barry Monteith.
For.
Councillor Denise McMullen.
For.
Councillor Joe O'Neill.
For.
Councillor Quinn. Councillor Robinson.
Against.
Councillor Totten.
For.
Councillor Wilson. Okay, the proposal has been carried 25-14. So therefore, the proposal and the motion stands. Councillor Mallon, back to yourself. Any comments?
Chair, just to remark, and I think it would have been useful to have a bit of an explanation from the officer side in this as well, is that we have a plan to build up the capital reserves in order to facilitate the capital project list that sits in front of us, and that takes years to do. So we could have the option of going out to the market and borrowing money, right, and doing all the work that we want to do, which is agreed by the council, agreed by everybody, and then pay it off. But given the experience, particularly from the Mahara Felt days, whenever when JJ was there as a finance officer, they planned ahead, saved the money in advance, and then built the things that they wanted to build for the public, for the future of the district.
Yeah.
And to turn around and say that this is some sort of a miracle now, that there's 4 million in the reserves whenever it wasn't expected, it was built in, should have been a bit more, in order to do the things that we want to do and not have an organisation that is sitting at any particular time in debt. And it's very easy to look at a bank statement and try and assess what situation an organisation or a business is in. But a given figure in any one day has no reflection whatsoever on what the state of the organisation is, depending on what that organisation's ambitions are and what their plans are over the future years. So that is why we've been putting so much money away in order to do the things that we, as a group of people, have decided to do together on behalf of the ratepayer. So it's just to add that point in, but thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, that brings us on, folks, then to
comment on the chair, just
yes.
No, I want to thank Adrian and JJ for the work they put into it. But chair, you know, it is disappointing, and you know, some in the room here may not say that it's a big increase, but the message of that going out to the general public, you know, and we have a duty of care to the ratepayers in the area. And there is genuinely families out there, working families, that are sitting on a wage that doesn't allow them to tap into any support or any benefit, that are struggling to heat their homes. Chair, you said it last month, or in the January meeting, you announced how many million was involved in our fuel stamps. Our fuel stamps are sky high, and it's a really successful scheme because people are gathering their pennies together to buy oil for their houses. And Chair, you know, last year's decision, 0%, was 100% the right decision to make. Dungannon Council, in the 5 years coming up to the amalgamation, set the rate at 0%. And on the very last meeting or two, I think they spent more. They spent $800,000 on Dungannon Park, $345,000 to buy a bog down at Railway Park, and they brought 7 new bin lorries to the table. They brought more to the table after 5 years of 0% rate than any other council. But Chair, we should have had enough savings in here to make to keep the rates down this year. We had a restructuring of our staff, and we lost 3 of our top earners and replaced them with 1. We lost other heads of services as well, so there should have been enough savings to keep the rates down to a minimum this year, and it is disappointing for the ratepayers of Mid Ulster.
Okay, thank you. Councillor McKinney, you looking in again?
Just a comment there, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Look, just a comment there. The provisions that are made in this council is 500,000 a year. We proposed that we put 500,000 a year away about 4 years ago into the capital projects scheme. It was nothing to do with the millions I was talking about there. This year, the British government subsidised the council the tune of between 6 and 7 million, if not a little more. That's where our extra money come from. It wasn't the money that we saved as a councillor team and the decisions that was made. It was a wee, a windfall, for want of a better way of putting it, due to COVID. So there wasn't any savings to be made as a council. There was money that's come to us through COVID. We still have the 500,000 a year standing on the budget. Nobody's complained about that money that we've had over the number of years. So to add an extra 3 or 4 million on that, as you're suggesting, I don't think that is a right thing to talk about here.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're one more item, so we have to move into confidential business. So could I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Councillor Molloy, Councillor McGuigan. We need to just wait on our IT till just to do that.